Injury List.
Yep, that is right. It is time for the Injury List. Zach van Heerden, welcome to another edition of Sports Talk.
Good to be here again.
Good to have you again. And yeah, big leagues kicked off tonight, essentially. Our biggest league in Africa kicked off last week. And already a couple of injuries to talk about. Talk me through them.
Yeah, still La Liga to come next week and Serie A almost there, but Premier League probably the biggest or the bigger. They're up and running. We saw on Friday night, Ellison, Liverpool goalkeeper, went down early in the first half. Looks like he's going to be out at least 2 to 3 weeks with what turned out to be a calf strain or calf rupture.
Bring back Simon Mignolet.
Lucky they'd signed a fairly good deputy in Adrian. So
absolutely.
He came on and didn't look to be particularly troubled, but I don't think Norwich were really not the kind of team to be troubling Liverpool, but time will tell, I think, over the next couple of weeks, or whether or not that will be a defining moment for them or not. Not a good time to lose a player who's been so instrumental for them, you know, and also in winning the Champions League last year. And then Sané of Man City, who's been the subject of a lot of transfer news as well. So £150 million deal gone. He looked like he was going to move off to Bayern Munich. That will now not happen because he's out with a serious knee injury, 7 to 8 months. So we might see him again March next year. So sad for him. And you know, a young player, you know, either with an opportunity to start really shining for Man City if he did stay, or to move on to another big team and make his mark there. So sad to see him go out with.
Yeah.
And you know, sadly, football is a very common injury. So I suppose on the good side as well, it means. Long time. I've had a couple of those myself, and I know what they're like.
Things. You know, you speak of Sané, and we know all the talk that was surrounding him even before he moved. I mean, when he was left out of the German World Cup squad, and Pep Guardiola was saying, "Well, he's he's not really mentally strong. You need to get to him. You need to motivate him." I wonder if he's going to come back as strong as he is.
We'll see. Look at Sterling. By example, I think I don't know how many goals he scored in the last, say, 10-15 games. Goals and goals and goals. So maybe he tended to be a bit like that younger, you know, when he was earlier in his career. So maybe Sané comes back. And sometimes an ACL big injury like this really, you know, puts life and football into perspective.
Yeah.
So hopefully all goes well for him.
Absolutely. Messi is also out, but not for too long.
Messi with a small calf strain, I think, is more, you know, just precautionary. He didn't play against Arsenal last week in that Charity Cup they were playing in, and you know, not in the vein as well at the moment. But I imagine he'll be there or thereabouts by the time La Liga starts. Understanding also he went, semi final of Copa America and all that kind of thing as well. So the man's not getting any younger.
So these little
niggles are going to crop up now and again, so as long as they're dealt with properly.
Absolutely. I want to talk about what's happening with Ozil and Kolasinac. Speaking of Arsenal.
Yeah, well, we spoke about them last week with the gun-wielding thugs who cut them off with mopeds and... Anyway, so.
Yeah. That's quite something.
Something from like a London gangster movie in real life. as it turns out, there have been two people who have been arrested and charged with a variety of offences. But these two guys are not happy, clearly. There's a lot going on. So they've got extra security at their homes. There's extra security at the training ground. There's something really strange going on here. We don't know what the depths and breadths of the story is. I'm sure it will pan out after time. Obviously, there's a little bit of a Turkish connection going on there as well.
I was about to say.
Something strange.
It must be, yeah.
So that they were missing for Arsenal's opener along with Lacazette.
Yeah.
There's three key players. So I think Arsenal did well to come away with a 1-0 away win there. So not bad at all.
So we know that the English transfer window is closed, but other teams in other leagues are still doing dealings. What's going to happen with Neymar?
Interesting one. Look, it's still the end of the month. So at the end of August, still another 2 weeks and a bit to go. So... with Neymar,
isn't very long.
Not long, but in football, 2 weeks can be a very, very long time. Can be the difference between having a job and not having a job.
Absolutely, yeah.
Moving countries, all kinds of things going on. So he's not in the PSG squad for tonight's game. So the question is, where is he going? So is it Real Madrid? Is it back to Barcelona? Is it somewhere else? Time will tell. But clearly, he's not in the plans. Or if he is, he's being kind of forced into a position where you want to play well, you're going to have to earn it. So. And with his behavior over the last couple of months, there can't be too many coaches, no matter how big the player is. What do they do with a guy like this? So, very, very tricky situation.
It is a very tricky situation. So the Springboks, we know, rugby championship champions, finally, never won it before. Good news. Seems like we're not going to get Warren Whiteley going to a World Cup, though. But good news, Siya Kolisi seems like he's coming back in time for the World Cup.
Yeah, so he featured in the game against the Pumas Curry Cup yesterday. He set up a try, so looks, I wouldn't say back to his best, but definitely from a fitness point of view, he's okay. And I can imagine that, you know, with the pre-World Cup, you know, preparations and everything, he'll be a part of that, and I don't see any issues. Warren Whiteley, sadly, just doesn't look like he's going to make it in time. Wasn't available for the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Along with two others.
That's so sad.
Apiwa Dante, and who was the other one? I'm missing here. Give me a second. Damon Willemse is the other one.
Yes.
Also on the sort of treatment table / will they be ready for the squad and that kind of thing. Then having said that, I mean, guys are doing well. Won the championship. Good result against All Blacks. Beat the Australians here. Australians hammered the All Blacks yesterday. So, I mean, we're looking okay. All Blacks looking a bit frail, I think, because they're also still sitting with 8-9 injuries. So let's see how we go with their World Cup around the corner.
All Blacks are just fooling all of us. Don't be fooled.
Okay, never mind. I'll take that back then.
We'll see what happens with the All Blacks. But at least it's good to have those two back. Well, at least it's good to have Siya Kolisi close to full fitness. Wales fly half Gareth Anscombe. He's also injured himself.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one of their key players. Wales would have gone top of the rankings had they beaten England. Unfortunately, they didn't. But the big news there is Gareth Anscombe's been their talisman. He's a points machine, and you know, setting up so many attacking moves for them over the last sort of year or so.
Yeah.
I think they won 14 in a row up until this England game.
Yeah.
He's been a huge part of that. So unfortunately, he's done a knee injury of some form, and with the World Cup just a couple of weeks ago, not a good time to be doing a knee injury. So either it's Sane style ACL out till March, or hopefully something smaller. So we don't wish anything badly on Wales, obviously, but
absolutely,
from a South African point of view, you know,
this has to be Wales' year. I mean, Warren Gatland has been there. We know that he's hanging up his Wales socks after this World Cup campaign. I'm not saying that I expect them to win the World Cup, but if there was a good time, it would be now.
Of course, yeah. And you wouldn't wish an injury to scupper their chances.
Yeah.
Having said that, should the Boks meet Wales in a semi-final again? or a quarter-final?
We're very
happy not to have the likes of Gareth Anscombe around.
Absolutely. We're not happy to not have the likes of Dale Steyn in his Protea colours, at least not in Protea Test colours. He's the most prolific Test bowler we've ever had, as well as Hash, who's retired from all forms of international cricket. Sad and big losses, but we look forward. But still, I mean, these are giants of the game.
Of course they are. So, you know, I think just with the World Cup come and gone, and I imagine with the, I don't want to call it a debacle, but not doing as well as we'd hoped, I think it maybe just accelerated it as well. So some changes there. A good time to bring youngsters through as well. There have been a few good performers, younger players. Maybe it's time for them to take the baton and run with it. And in New Zealand as well, Bryn McCulloch, you know, he's been fairly prolific for them, particularly in the shorter forms of the game. He's also called it a day. So interesting times in cricket.
Big guns. I mean, we generally see that after the 4-year cycle, after the World Cup, people start to fall off, all the oldies, because now they've played, and they start to make way for the new guys, which is good. But we also know that the price of World Cup success is very expensive, and we're currently seeing that now with England and Australia in that first Ashes test. Well, it's done now, the first Ashes test, but there were some casualties there, and England went on to get walloped in that Ashes
200
test.
200-something runs,
the World Cup winners.
Yeah, so I think it was 2 weeks between the end of the World Cup, when they won the World Cup, and the start of the Ashes series. Australia obviously up for it, particularly with Steve Smith and David Warner back in action, and particularly Steve Smith.
Oh, he was really good.
144 and 142.
Oh,
you know, two
good.
Great innings, I think, it really set them up. But for England, James Anstone, who didn't feature in the World Cup, funny enough, he wasn't involved in that at all. But he did a calf strain playing for his county a couple of weeks before the first Ashes test. And in the fourth, he bowled four overs and his calf went again. So you've got to ask that wisdom, you know, same as we spoke about, do we take Dale Steyn to a World Cup with a shoulder problem? Mm. What happened next? You know, same thing over here. So, yeah, I think that really, you know, losing a frontline bowler did put them sort of behind the nine ball kind of thing. So it made it very difficult for them, and Australia won their test. They've also now lost their key spinner, Adil Rashid, out for, looks like, about 7-8 months potentially, whether it was requiring shoulder surgery and all that kind of thing. So and he was obviously heavily involved in the World Cup tilt. So interesting times. Will Aussie go up 2-0 in the Ashes series by next week this time. We'll see.
We'll see. And very much chance there. But, I mean, the game still needs to be played on that, you know, cricket pitch. And we'll see how it works out. Is this the beginning of the end for Tiger Woods? He had to withdraw from the Northern Trust FedEx Cup play of the FedEx Cup. He was 27th at the start of the Northern Trust. I'm sure his ranking will not be too good by now.
Yeah, he's got a well, they're calling it a mild strain, a side strain. There's a muscle called the oblique, so it's, you know, towards the base of the rib cage and off towards the pelvis. Very common in golfers. Yeah. I just think, with his age and with all the surgery he's had, he's done so well. I mean, he won Grand Slam this season, and he's been there and thereabouts in a couple of others, and other times he's been absolutely horrendous, depending on the temperature.
Absolutely.
I just think maybe he should be saying, listen, it's August. Let me just pack it in for a couple of months and just get my head right, get everything ready for next season. Should and maybe Tiger focus Woods on those slams because he seems to be doing really well in those.
Should Tiger Woods be looking at coaching? We will see.
Time will tell.
It is quite something. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, this is one of the most decorated golfers of all time. So as much as we're looking at him now and saying, oh, he's not really getting going and finding his best form, but he's had his glory days. And even if he were to retire today, he would still go down in the annals of history. Andy Murray is looking to also go down in the annals of history, and he's made a fantastic comeback. And he's back to singles tennis now.
Yeah. So he's a little bit like the All Blacks. So he's a feigned injury and still play tennis again. And he was back in town for Wimbledon, played the doubles, won the doubles tournament the week before that, and now he returns to singles tennis. So I'm wondering what Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, etc. are thinking. Well, there's a semi-final lineup for the US Open.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see how he goes. Obviously, singles tennis is a lot more demanding on the body, and particularly the hip. His hip is where the problem is. We had that hip resurfacing surgery. And that was way back now. It's, only 6 months ago, February or so. But he really has made a fantastic return. So we wish him all the best and hope to see him right back up at the top.
I remember sometime during the week there was news of the passing of Bjork Lambrecht during the tour of Poland. That was quite sad for, especially for the race, and to have a Tour of Poland being a cycle race, to have a cyclist pass away, a professional cyclist at such a young age as well.
Yeah, 22 years old, sadly came off the bike, quite a heavy impact, not too sure exactly, we don't have all the details yet, probably involved the head, normally it does, and sadly passed his way on the way to hospital, didn't make it, so... Unfortunately, this is the nature of cycling. It's
it's a dangerous
high sport. Impact, high speed sport. We saw Chris Froome as well. All kinds of accidents can happen, and every couple of months there's a rider passes away, either hit by a vehicle or slips and hits his head on a rock or something like that. So sad to see that. But I think what's important, we all learn from that as well, and try and stay out of danger as much as possible.
Yeah, no, we do have to. Chris Froome, though, it's good to see him back on the bike again.
Yeah, so the pictures are out. He's back in training with pins and plates and all kinds of things in his legs and in his hips.
Yeah.
So a bit of a bionic man, I think, at the moment. But I think he's...
Does it count as doping?
No? Depends what's in the metal, I guess. If it's radioactive, maybe. Anyway, so he's I mean, and also that's quite miraculous, actually. It's about 6 weeks since his... just over 6 weeks since his... that accident before the Tour de France, which ruled him out of that. Remember, he was almost comatose for about, I think about 20, 30 minutes, didn't know what happened, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So for him to be back training and on a bike and that kind of thing is actually quite phenomenal. It also shows the character of the man, he's saying already, Tour de France next year, I want it, I need five.
It's coming back.
We'll see how he goes.
21 minutes past 8 o'clock, Zach Van Heerden, in-studio exercise physiologist. Zach, tell me about this transcontinental race. What is that? And why should we even care about it right now?
Well, it's a massive race. If you think Tour de France is long, which it is, this is probably around about the same distance, but over a much shorter time period, so... I'm trying to dig out the exact miles here. It's a 4,000-kilometer race across Austria, Bulgaria, Bosnia, Croatia, France, Italy, Kosovo, Serbia, Slovenia, and Switzerland.
Wow!
And it was won by a woman, beat all the men, which is
wow,
which is not actually amazing. I think to the general public, a woman won that. But as a physiologist, no, it's not that amazing. Yeah. It's in the genes, effectively. So women do so much better at these ultra endurance events. Men do tend to have the slight advantage when it comes to the power based stuff. So you look like 100-meter, Usain Bolt kind of stuff.
There's
quite a big difference. It's like a 15-16% difference in speed and power between men and women. By the time you get to this kind of distance, no difference. And women are more than capable of showing the men exactly how to do it, which is what happened.
Why is that?
Well, it comes down to muscle fiber type, essentially. Yeah. So you've heard of fast and slow muscle fiber types.
Not really, no.
Well, women tend to have more slow muscle fiber types. So fibers that they contract with a little bit less power, but use oxygen a lot more efficiently. So on an event like this, that sort of power difference doesn't make any difference whatsoever. So it's just a case of being able to keep going. Women are better at that. And secondly, they tend to have a better fat metabolism. So they're able to utilize fats more efficiently, particularly over a long distance event. Mm. And a shorter distance event, up to say marathon, carbohydrates are king, then the fat kicks in. So if you're able to utilize fats more effectively, you're able to keep going at a higher pace for a longer time with better recovery.
Yeah.
Anyway, so good to see women showing men the way.
Well, there you've heard it from Zach van Heerden. It's Women's Month, and it happens to be, you heard it first here on Sports Talk. Women are better than men at these sort of high endurance races. And I mean, that is, it's just the way we are made. So I'm not going to say it's absolutely phenomenal, but in case you thought that men are the be all and end all of long distance and every kind of sporting coat, no, guys, come on. Sit down, it's the ladies' turn to show us how to really, really do this. Give us your training tip for the week.
So spring is almost upon us, about 2 weeks to go officially till spring gets here. If you have been out, you'll see the birds out building nests and flowers are starting to pop out and all those kind of things. Great for those with allergies, of course.
Yeah, my tissue bill has just gone up by like 300%.
So obviously people now, it's a little bit warmer as well. People are getting out, starting to train early in the mornings, a little bit later in the evenings. I think just be careful. Still winter in the morning.
Yeah.
Still dark, still cold. Not maybe the best conditions to be training. And also, people can't always see you. That's the other thing. People still go to work while you're training. Just make sure you're ready. You know, the batteries in the lights so people can see you. You know, if you've lost your light-colored clothing so people can see you in the dark, go and get new ones. Get everything ready before you go. Don't just whip the bike out of the garage, dust it off and go. You know, check the tires. Make sure you got your punctures repaired and everything's working normally. Nothing worse than being sort of 20 km from home. At sort of 6:30 on a Monday morning and something goes wrong, you know. Sort of drag the bike home.
Can we start shedding those clothes, those winter clothes and all the beanies and all of that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's still probably not best to be training when it is cold. I think one is to check conditions before you go out. So if it's fairly warm, go and train. If it's a little bit nippy still, remember that the cold air getting into the lungs is the problem. It's not the skin on the outside. The skin will survive. Mm. It's what gets into your lungs that causes the damage. So that's where you need to be careful. And obviously with the dust, particularly in the Joburg region as well, still very, very dry here, very dusty. Mm. The wind picks up. You've got all that junk in the air along with the pollution. And now you're adding a pollen load because all the flowers are starting to come out from certain trees in it. Mm. And certain of the grass as well are starting to flower now. So you've got sort of allergy and cold air. Mm. You know, great way to depress the immune system in your lungs and pick up something when you really don't need to.
So
just be careful out there.
Absolutely. Zach van Heerden, thank you so much. As he's saying, spring is around the corner. So sun's out when you do train, but be careful and make sure that you...